He used to be on Top of the World.
Most of yeah. He got jiggy with it. Parents didn't understand.
I just feel like he hasn't been in a good movie in a while.
Is that how you gauge success?
Yeah, which is why he considers us utter failures, Joey. Our filmography is just awful.
Be in some better movies, guys, and then I'll start respecting you.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Wee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jeremy with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to, yeah, so just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is June 26th, 2016. I don't even know. What episode is this? 180? It's summertime, I can tell you that. I got it wrong last time. I have no idea this time.
I'm guessing it's 187. It's my
guess.
That
sounds great. We're coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about Pacers offseason trades. We're talking about the finals, and we're talking about the rest of the NBA and the draft. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Coulson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It has been too long. I missed you all. I think last time we talked, I was in the process of buying a home. I am now currently in that home, so I'm super excited. Mowed my own lawn today.
Are you actually in your own home? You look
well.
Like
no,
you're
I'm.
The same
I'm okay. Yeah, yeah. So I've got a 2-week window where I can still live in both places. I don't have internet yet at the new house, but mowed the lawn. So still back at the old apartment. Probably excellent. Won't be recording from the new house for a couple weeks. But
so now you have two houses to take care of.
Yeah, and pay rent and mortgage on. Yeah.
All right, that's a win.
But. Nah, I'm happy. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? God, draft madness. The league has gone crazy. I'm excited to hear your guys' thoughts about all this. We haven't even covered the finals of the finals, so we got a lot to cover. Let's get at it.
I'd like to give a shout out to the Almighty Prophet from the Almighty Balling podcast. We had Coulson and JT were on a Pacers preview show for next season. I really enjoyed it. Listened to it a couple times.
Yeah, really.
You guys, you sounded competent. I was impressed.
It was mid-afternoon. I wasn't drunk yet. That was part of it, I think. Yeah, I actually had like coherent thoughts for the pod. Thanks, Jason, for being there. It made it easier for me. It's sort of like, because the thing is the Almighty Prophet just does it the same way we do. You just get on Skype and you start talking, and it felt like what we do. So shout out to him for making us comfortable, and it was a good time.
Yeah, I was, been listening to several of those podcasts now. He's got a whole series basically doing the same thing, like they did with us, with all these other teams, too. So you kind of get the perspective from, I got to listen to some about the Timberwolves, like kind of in-depth analysis of the Timberwolves. So from some, guys who talk about just the Timberwolves. So I like that. There's lots and lots of stuff like that going on. A lot of action going on over there.
Yeah, gracious guy, and thank him for letting us be on his show.
So I want to get into some Pacers talk now. A lot has been going on. Last week or so, I think the first thing that happened was George Hill Jeff Teague and the Pacers' 20th pick, or sorry, the Utah pick, were all swirled around. Jeff Teague ends up as a Pacer. George Hill ends up in Utah, and I guess Atlanta gets Utah's pick. But in effect for the Pacers, they swap point guards. This has been rumored. This was going on. This rumor is not new. I remember hearing about this all-star, you know, trade deadline last season, you know, this specific trade. So the Pacers get a true point guard, which people have been clamoring for, but at the expense of George Hill, the hometown hero, is now in Utah. How do you guys feel about this?
Harper, I feel like you should start.
I've said on this show several times that I think Jeff Teague is a good player. I think he's a good fit for our team. I'm pretty sure that I also said that I didn't want this trade at the expense of George Hill, but here we are. I was hoping to get a Jeff Teague, George Hill backcourt. That was my thought. That's what I wanted. That being said, you know, George Hill probably needs a new start somewhere. So, welcome to Mormon country for him. And Jeff Teague comes home. Indiana guy, happy to have him back. Like I said, I think he's a great fit. He's going to help us play the right way, and he's going to be a good fit for us.
All right, a couple things. How sad is George Hill today? Like, he was living in his hometown, like, totally committed to the Pacers, and he wakes up essentially in Utah. I get Jeff Teague. He's also a hometown hero. He's more of a pure point guard. George Hill did nothing for us but do what we asked him to do, which is play out of position for 5 years. And he did it not amazingly, but extremely competently. He was a low turnover guy, a high efficiency guy, a guy that you could trust to play defense, a guy that you could trust to not screw up the locker room. He was just a soldier. And, I'm sad. I feel like Jeff Teague, yes, is a more pure point guard, but George Hill is the kind of utility guy that you want on a team that's going to make a step towards championship contention. I don't know that we got better from this trade, and not because Jeff Teague isn't a better pure point guard, but because we now have him in the backcourt with Monte Ellis. Both of them are slashing point guards. Monte Ellis is a shooting guard, I guess, but he's a slasher as well. Neither of them are. I mean, Teague's a competent three-point shooter, but if you look at his numbers, I mean, he tends to go to the basket, especially in the fourth quarter. He tends to take over. He, like all good point guards do, shares the ball early in the game and then takes over a little bit more in the end. But he spends a lot of his successes at the basket. We're going to have trouble spacing this floor unless we, surround these two guys with shooters, because neither of them are elite shooters. I'm not sure that the geometry of the team fits better now than it did with George Hill. This is a concern for me.
Well, my take on this, I think, was that I think that we really needed to plug that hole at the point guard. And I was all for having George Hill play the shooting guard, but the problem is they had just gone out and spent a bunch of money on Monte Ellis. So it's between those two. And I would have liked the Teague George Hill backcourt, but then you got Monte Ellis and a bunch of money tied up there. And I think that's going to be harder to move than George Hill would.
Well, and do we know if Monte Ellis is going to come back better next year? I mean, he was a little bit banged up. New system. I mean, but he's on the wrong side of 32, and we've got him for 3 more years.
You know, I just haven't spent enough time at camp this year to give you the answer to that one. I mean, here's the deal. What did you want? Did you want the best shooting one in the league? I mean, what do ones do? One slash, it's what they do.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that, I don't know. No, Teague is a competent three-point shooter. He is. But
he's much improved last year. On his career, he's not that good.
Yeah. You know, he is a mediocre defender. He basically no longer could play on it. He could no longer play on the floor for the Hawks in the playoffs because Schroeder, who's a second year guy, took his minutes. Like, basically took his starter's minutes. So, I mean, is this the guy that's going to lead us to a championship? I'm not sure.
It wasn't because of his defense.
Well, that's another issue then. What was it for? I mean, is it inability to lead a team down the stretch? Like, because he was losing fourth quarter minutes to a second year guy. Is Teague the guy that's going to lead me to a championship? I'm concerned.
Is he supposed to be the leader of this team now?
No, but he's my point guard. You know, I mean, I need him. I need him to lead. I need him to lead my offense. Like, he doesn't have to be the leader of the Hawks either. But if he's losing minutes to a second year guy, that means he's not running the team the way that the coach wants. You know, and that you don't have to be. It's really easy to be to put leadership on the point guard because they tend to be the coach on the floor. He doesn't have to be the leader of the team, but he's got to do what the coach wants on the floor.
Well, so this is still Paul George's team. So he's the guy that I'm going to look to lead. George Hill, not a very good leader. I mean, just he's a quiet guy. He can lead by example, I'll give you that. But all of the things that you said about George Hill that you like, work hard, you know, team guy, doesn't destroy locker room, warrior, I don't know why these things don't apply to Jeff Teague, too. Okay. He's had a lot of success in Atlanta. That's been a very good team for a bunch of years.
Sure, they have been good, without a doubt.
Former All-Star.
And I mean, I don't have – I'm clearly higher on his defense than you. He's got much quicker feet than George Hill. He can keep guys in front of him. If you want to look at the stats, he's 3 defensive win shares a game. And last year, 2.8 for George Hill. So,
okay. So you're saying it's a wash there maybe?
I mean, I've taken issue with George Hill having trouble keeping quick point guards in front of him, so I think it's an upgrade for us. We're going to have to find ways to block shots, but we got to keep these guys in front of us, right? We can't leave our big guys out on an island, especially if we're only going to be playing one of them. So we got to do a better job of keeping guys in good defensive positions, and I think Jeff Teague helps us there. The problems with Monta Ellis at 2... those don't change, but they weren't going to. Joey's right. I mean, we just spent all the money on him. He wasn't going anywhere. So, I mean, I think we're fine. I would love to have some more shooting. I'm with you, but I don't want it coming from – I don't need it coming from my point guard position. I need it coming from my 4.
Well, about that.
We got a new power forward.
Is his name CJ Miles?
No, even though I am interested to see what happens with CJ next year. You know, he was if we could take the good parts of last year and extend those out over a whole season, that would have been great, or it will be great for next year. But the Pacers traded away their first-round draft pick, the 20th one, to the Brooklyn Nets for Thaddeus Young, who you may not have heard a lot about. I know, you know, I remember him more on the 76ers. The last two teams, 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets, are two teams you probably wouldn't spend your time writing home about. And, you know, but he's a quality guy. And, you know, if that's the five, I guess we don't know exactly what the starting unit would be for the team. If they're going to run Miles Turner at the 5, Young, Paul George, Ellis, and Jeff Teague, I don't know. Seems legit to me. I'm happy with running with that if we can't make an upgrade somewhere else. So,
hey, look, I really like this Thaddeus Young pickup. He's a professional basketball player, and he's going to be able to give you some points and some rebounds and play tough defense. He's just he's a legitimate starting level player, and we weren't going to get that with the 20th pick. So this is a savvy pickup by Bird. The only issue is that he costs $14 million versus a guy that, you know, a draft pick that costs $1.5 million. But we've got the money. I mean, everybody in the league just got – so the cap just jumped $24 million because of a new TV deal. It's unprecedented and crazy. Everybody got a ton of money to work with. And so – We're one of those teams. There are a few teams that were, already above that. But, we ended up with a ton of money to spend, so why not spend it on a guy that can play basketball? And this is a great pickup for us. He is not a shooter. He's not much of a three-point shooter, which for the geometry of the team concerns me. But I think he's a professional basketball player, and I'm excited about this pickup.
So what does he do well? What is Thaddeus Young's calling card?
I feel like he's just – that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not sure he does anything great. I think he just kind of does everything pretty well. Like, he plays pretty good defense. He rebounds pretty well. He can score in the post. He doesn't really shoot from distance, but, I feel like he plays basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm with you there. He's a solid player. If this trade had happened last year, I'd have thought we were crazy, right? 14 mil for this guy is just outrageous, right? But in the new salary cap climate, it's much more palatable.
It's basically like a $9 or $10 million contract from last year, right? Because of the way the cap jumped.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess kind of the two things that I wanted from my four, ideally, if we're going to be playing a more up-and-down game and having Jeff Teague run our point, would be three-point shooting and rebounding. And he's suspect at both.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So I like Thaddeus Young as a player. I think he's a good guy. I think he'll be a great fit in our locker room. But I'm not real sure how he fits into the team.
I mean, he's athletic. He can run. I mean, he's still pretty young, right? I mean, he's not
7 years in the league. He's not young.
But he's not on the other side of 30, is he?
Yeah, he's
27 or 28.
Yeah, 28. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, he's pushing. Yeah. I mean, he's in his prime. You know
entering
what you
his
got.
Prime. Right.
You know what you got. And so just to contextualize this a little bit, on his career, he's a 32% three-point shooter. He shoots well from two-point land. He does, he's got some post moves. He can play close to the basket. He can play with his back to the basket. He had 9 rebounds a game last year, but on his career, he averages 5.9. So that's sort of it feels like a statistical outlier. So we're going to need him to really step up. I'm concerned if we're playing a 4-5 of Thaddeus Young and Miles Turner, that we're really going to struggle in the rebounding department up front. So yeah. Somebody's going to have to step up. And
well, he's not exactly a shot blocker either, right? I mean, if you've got Miles Turner out,
I mean, he's every bit as good a shot blocker as George Hill was. So,
but if you've got, but not as good as Jan Mahimni was. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're gonna turn this around and have, basically Thaddeus Young fill in for Jan Mahimni. And now he won't start at center, but he'll be, the other guy in the starting lineup. You lack some shot blocking. And if you give that sole role to Miles Turner, he's going to be offensively more on the perimeter, I would think.
Right.
So,
well, I think our hope is that we can get Thaddeus Young to one-on-one with bigs in the post, where he's a little bit more of a physical match for centers, even though he is undersized for that role. But he's going to be better there than Miles Turner. Miles Turner can be our weak side shot blocker.
Okay.
Thaddeus Young is only 6'8 and 220. He's not a huge guy.
Right.
But I think he's going to – I mean, if we're going to play, I can't see Miles Turner really handling the Dwight Howards of the world. That doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Speaking of Jan Mahimni, is there any word on what's going on with him at this point?
No word.
You guys heard anything?
No. We haven't gotten rid of him. He actually still has a cap hold. We have the rights to re-sign him. If we would like to go out and make a free agent signing that would be, say, a large free agent signing, we would have to rescind his rights. We currently are still holding on to those. So there's still a chance that Jan Mahimni will be back on the team. Unless something big free agent comes our way.
Or
trade. But I think the team likes him. I like Jan. Come on home, Jan.
I mean,
come on back.
Crazy not to try and re-sign him. and I don't know really what the plan is. I'll say on the air what I'm secretly dreading is I was talking to Colson about this earlier, that I've got this bad feeling in the pit of my stomach that DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a Pacer next year at some point.
You watch your tongue.
I'm not excited about it. I think that New York is still the most likely stop, but it seems almost inevitable that Boogie Cousins is getting traded.
Yep.
And Indianapolis is probably on the short list for him of possible destinations.
There are an awful lot of sinners on the Sacramento Kings. Yeah. They keep picking them up.
As of draft night, yes. They even traded for Bogdan.
Yeah.
So, or Bogan Bogdanovich, whatever the hell his name is. The man of giant hands.
And then Papa John, somebody.
Oh, yeah, Papa John.
Papa John, he's a great center in this league.
I think they should let those rights to Jan go. And Paul George should woo Kevin Durant over the summer at USA Basketball. And KD should come to a bigger small market in Indianapolis and run the East
with Paul George. That's a fantastic plan. We don't even seem to be one of the teams that Kevin Durant is going to meet with. He's meeting with San Antonio, Golden State, Boston, and New York, I believe, and then OKC, of course.
I see the Spurs on the list too.
Yeah. So we didn't end up on that list. I know that he came, didn't he fly into Indy for a day?
So it was reported.
He didn't even wear shoes.
That's because he feels so comfortable here.
I won't say there's a 0% chance. There's a decimal and then a lot of zeros.
Yeah. That would definitely solve all of our roster problems if we had Kevin Durant. I'm not going to sit here and say that's an actual legitimate.
We'd have the two best threes in the league on the same team. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides, that aren't named LeBron James.
Greg Doyle, the local beat writer for the Indy Star, said that everything that Bird has just done in the last few days by getting Thaddeus Young and getting Jeff Teague was amazing. In fact, he called him a magician and said that he's now turned our team into the second best team in the league after the Cleveland Cavaliers, or in the East after the Cleveland Cavaliers.
This is the same writer. Never mind.
No. I know. Basically, what he does is he does inflammatory stuff to sell papers, and I get that.
And I'm sufficiently inflamed.
Yes, as well you should be. Unless Bird has another move up his sleeve. I'm not going to call this magic, because for me right now, like, we've added two starting caliber players, but none of this fits together yet, and I don't see how it's going to work. He's done stuff. You can't say he hasn't done stuff, which I appreciate, I guess. But I'm not as excited as Doyle.
All we did was go out and we did the first two things that we needed to do. We upgraded at one and we upgraded at four. We didn't have a four last year. We just didn't have one. Now we have one. We've got an NBA point guard who's been an all-star. So that makes us better. That makes us much better. If we can maintain the defense that we've played and go into the season knowing that we're going to get more easy shots, which is what we struggle with, which is why we were terrible at closing games, because we could not manufacture offense late in games. We should be, just with Jeff Teague and a serviceable four, we should be plus 10 in the win category, right?
Yeah.
If Paul George plays the same, I think that this is potentially a huge step up for us. If we can maintain the defensive intensity that we had last year. And the question is, can we do that?
We also have a new coach in the process as well.
We have a new coach.
Who may not yes.
Oh, no.
Who may not emphasize defense as much.
Hey, we got Dan Burke, man.
Yeah, Dan Burke is still on the team.
That
yeah,
guy is nuts. Right now, no, he's practicing yelling at players in the mirror.
And I did see that he was they elected to keep him. So he will be there. He will be yelling at people. Colson, I think it was you. We were in the tunnel, and the Pacers had just lost the game, and the whole the team's going by, the staff's going by, and they're bummed out because they lost a close game, and then you yelled out at Dan Burke, and he actually smiled.
Sorry, I love me some Dan Burke.
I just don't know how many people are yelling at Dan Burke in the tunnel.
Shout out, Dan Burke. Thank you for keeping our defense alive. We also added apparently amazing player in the draft at number 50, Jorge Nyang. Is that right?
Definitely not.
Georges Nyang. 6'8", 230, power forward, stretch four, he shoots. Pritchard says he loves him because he's a pick-and-pop guy and a pick-and-dive guy. They made him sound like he was the best player in the draft, but we picked him up at 50, so he's probably not. I'm assuming he might see some trash minutes. If we're getting blown out or we're blowing somebody out. So shout out to the second George on the team. Now that George Hill is gone, he's the second George.
So, yes, that's awesome. A little bit more background on Georgie here. Winningest player in Cyclone history is an Iowa State guy. Went back for his fourth year, so he's a four-year college guy. The upside on him is, the scouting report reads, high basketball IQ, plays the game the right way, sort of a guy. The knock on him is that he doesn't have elite athleticism. The question is, does he have NBA athleticism?
Right.
And that will, I guess, remain to be seen. Hit about 40% of his three-pointers in college, so you hope to see that go up over his first couple years in the NBA, and he could potentially, if he works on his game and perfects his craft, he could potentially be a really solid player in our system. He's not going to start for us, but it's really important to have a guy at the four for us, I think, who's going to be able to shoot threes. So,
he apparently had an incredible workout with us. They said the workout was the most, that bumped him up in the selection process for the Pacers. He's a 26-3 guy. Like, the guy is legit, at least in college. So we'll see if he has the athleticism to keep up in the NBA.
Smart guy, 6'9", 230. Played for the mayor. Played for Freddie Hoiberg while he was at Iowa State. So he knows how to play basketball. And that's what we need. We need basketball players. So I like the pick. It's a solid, solid second round pick. You don't normally get much value there, so if we can turn him into anything, that's a win.
Him and Shane Whittington battling for minutes. Shout out, Shane.
Shout out, Shane.
So that's it. So that's, I think, what's been going on the last, roster wise, the last couple weeks.
There is still an opportunity here to go out and get a max or near max guy. If you basically give up Jan Mahimny, your cap hold, you're going to be around $22-23 million available. Max guys cost about 25. There's still a chance to go out and try to sway a Al Horford or a Kevin Durant or whoever these people are that you want. It's very unlikely, but I'm not going to just assume that our offseason is over. There's a lot of money to play with here. I'd love to bring Jan Mahimny back. If we do, we've still got 15 mil. There's some discussion about whether we should give that money to Jeff Teague and just go ahead and re-sign him now.
Why would we do that?
To extend him, because this is in the last year of his contract, just like George Hill was, and whether we go ahead and extend. We wouldn't give him this year's money, but give him money next year and go ahead and extend him. You know, and that's something I wouldn't necessarily do up front because I'd like to see how he plays with the team. But, you know, also if he has an all-star caliber year, if you don't take care of it now, you're going to have to pay him a lot more money next year and might not be able to afford him. So it's something to consider. He's getting paid currently $8 million a year. If you want to say, hey, we'll offer you another $8 a year, so we pay him $16 a year or something like that over the next two or three, maybe that's worth doing. That's on the table. But that would cut into our future cap.
Yeah, I'd rather have Kevin Durant.
As would we all, sir.
I don't know about Bird. I never know with that guy. The magician, we call him.
Yeah, I will. Like I said, I'll give him that he's doing stuff.
Yeah.
How gracious of you.
He's...
Things are happening.
I've poured out a beer for George Hill, who was in my top 15 of favorite Pacers of all time. We're going to miss you, buddy.
He was in your top 15. He's just out like that.
No, he's gone. He's still there.
He's out of there.
Jeff Teague is now in the top 15.
Was there when I did my top 25. It still resides there and will in perpetuity. And maybe not. It depends. It's a fluid list. But we'll always love him. I love the backpacks thing. I don't know who's going to do back. Will Jeff Teague take over the backpacks thing? I don't know.
He's a much better free throw shooter. So.
Just a good man and a good citizen and a good player for our team. And I still honestly believe that he is a piece on a championship team. And I hope he finds that, even if it's not with us. So, shout out, George Hill.
Shout out.
I want to talk about the NBA Finals. I know it's late. Everyone knows what happened. Cavs won in dramatic fashion. Went in 4-3 on the road in Golden State. I don't remember what our predictions were. Do you guys remember what they were?
I don't either. I'm pretty sure I picked Golden State in like 5, probably. Yeah.
I picked Golden State in 6, but I picked the Cavs to win it in our preseason pick.
Hmm.
But we did our picks after game 1 or game 2 or something, and I jumped off the boat.
Yeah, I think I picked San Antonio. That didn't work out for me.
Yeah, I think I picked Cleveland over San Antonio in my preseason.
I think I had San Antonio over Cleveland in my preseason one. But before, from our last show, I picked the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, you did.
Oh, look at the hat. I love it.
I picked the Cavs to win, and they did. And it was the first time, a lot of firsts in this one. The first time a team has come back being down 3-1. And impressively, really, they won two games on the road in Oakland against the reigning two-time MVP. But I think the best player in the world is somebody I'd rather have on my team than the MVP. My stat of the week is from the finals. LeBron James won, or he was the number one, he was the leader in the categories scoring, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals, all of them. He was the best on both teams for the entire series.
That is absolutely insane.
It's the first time it's ever happened in any playoff series that one player is led all for both teams.
Not just the finals?
Not the finals. Not the first round. Not just the second round. Not the third round. All four rounds. So he did it all.
I'll tell you what. That wasn't even the most impressive thing for me about LeBron in those finals. Good as that was, it was just the little things that he did that just kept taking things away from Golden State. It was stepping over Draymond Green and getting the suspension. It was, you know, positioning himself behind Steph Curry after he shot a three, knowing that he'd run backwards and run into him and fall down and take the contact. All those little things that he does that look like they just happen in the flow of the game, but he's been staying up late at night thinking about, all of those things when you put them together, those intangibles, you know, coaching his team the way that he did, because I'm not giving Tyronn Lue jack for credit on this one. This was all LeBron's. It was an amazing effort on his part. And, yeah, I should be happy for Cleveland. I'm happy for Joey.
Yeah. Well, no, so this is my, so Harper, you know, you're more excited about the Jeff Teague thing than I am, but I'm way more excited about this Cleveland thing than you are. You don't like Cleveland.
Are they the Pacers?
Were you rooting for Golden State in this? Is that what you're doing?
I was, because they just threw away a 73-win season for no reason. And I had to watch Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen smile and pop a cork.
Yeah, good call. Those guys suck.
Of course I was rooting for Golden State. I really like LeBron James. I mean, as a basketball player, I don't know that I don't know. I struggle with it.
You guys haven't hung out, so I mean, like, you don't know if you like him as a person.
I hate him because he's tortured me as a Pacers fan.
Yeah.
Right? But as a basketball player, he's so damn impressive. It's really hard to dislike him. I mean, he never does anything wrong. So
after game two, the team was down 2-0, and he went to the team and was like, "Yeah, we got this. We got this whole thing."
After they were down, they lost the first two games, and
they all started to believe, and they were like, "Okay, let's do it." Then he ends the series with back to back 40-point games, and then the final game a triple double. He definitely stepped up and put this.
I said 30, 10, and 10 wouldn't be enough, and about that I was right. He needed 40, 10, and 10.
Absolutely incredible. First title for Cleveland ever for the Cavaliers, and the first title for the city since what, 1960?
It's been like 52 years, like 54 years.
Yeah. Just absolutely great for that town, and great for LeBron's legacy. He is one of the greatest players we've ever seen, and to do this, to have a team come back from 3-1, which has never happened in the finals, to you know, to put on that kind of performance, and then down the stretch of Game 7. And you're right, Harper, just all the little things he did. Watching that final block against Andre Iguodala.
It was the best.
He is, like, so far away from the play, and he just starts speeding up just in case. You know, and he just goes full bore.
Not just in case. He knew what he was going to do when he started running from three-quarter court.
But here's the thing, though. How do you catch him? I mean, like, if he had, I mean, if Jarris Smith hadn't put a little defense on him, there were just so many intangibles to that thing. There's so many things that could have gone a different way. But he was just prepared. He was prepared to block it, and he did it. The come from behind, one of the best come from behind blockers in the history of the NBA, and he did it on an amazing stage.
Sure.
And
fantastic. There was the dunk that wasn't, which could have been a signature moment.
Oh my god! And that's what I said immediately when it happened. He wanted that to be a signature thing. He went up so hard.
I mean, and look, the block is phenomenal, and that will be the signature LeBron thing, but he should have had both. I mean, with the series that guy had, right? I thought he should have been MVP last year
in a losing
effort. Right?
Without a doubt.
There's no question he's that good at basketball. I was surprised that he got just enough help out of his team. I mean, Kyrie with the 40-point effort in Game 6, hitting the big shot down the stretch in Game 7.
Totally showed up. Looks like a kid who might be able to lead the Cavs next year and let LeBron take some minutes off.
No. No one will ever lead a team that LeBron.
No, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, maybe just let him go ahead and score.
Some of the workload.
Like, it looks
that this year.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
LeBron didn't average 40, 10, and 10 this.
That's true. But he could trust him a little bit more, I think, after how he stepped up. He started playing defense down the stretch. I mean,
he stepped up because LeBron helped get him there.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm not saying that Kyrie did it on his own, but I think he can trust him a little bit more going into the next season. But your point is that LeBron did all this stuff. What happened on the other side? Like, Steph Curry was the MVP. He was pretty much silent in this game, in this whole series. Did he have one signature game?
Yeah, he had one that was like 38. He had one game that was big.
Game 4.
And then otherwise, he's just kind of pedestrian. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't score 20 points and all that stuff, but, like, he kind of faded. And I'm wondering whether, you know, there's speculation whether he was injured. People, you know, there's images of, you know, there's big bruises on his, you know, shoulder or
so there's not speculation.
He was definitely injured. But my speculation is that maybe the finals is too big a spotlight, because last year he wasn't great in the finals either. Like, Andre Iguodala got the MVP for the finals last year. Like, maybe he just doesn't love that bright a light. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
I think that's probably an unfair characterization. I will say that it's hard. I mean, for decades, people have been saying that jump shooting teams can't win NBA titles. It's hard to be a jump shooter in the finals when they let all the contact go, right? This is what I'm talking about. Things that used to be fouls are no longer fouls. So, yeah, Steph Curry is going to have a much tougher go of it. And, yeah, certainly he was injured. But you're not going to get the same looks that you were getting either. So I think it's unfair to say that the stage is too big for him. Okay. I do think that it's.
I now have a 15 game sample set where he wasn't amazing, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I think that I would spread the blame around a lot more. I mean, it wasn't just Steph Curry. That team stopped moving the ball the way that they had.
They definitely did. Became hero ball and weird stuff.
Harrison Barnes couldn't hit a wide open shot to save his life. You know, lots of things didn't go the right way. Really, the only guy in Game 7 who was really impressive was Draymond.
Yeah, Draymond was amazing. Like, he was the only guy for the Warriors that was...
Couldn't stop Brown, though, could he?
That's the thing. You got to give the credit to the Cavs. And you don't want to say that Golden State choked this away.
LeBron.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just don't want this to be characterized as Golden State choked, which they did, but I still feel like the Cavs took it from him. LeBron took it from him. He was the best player on the planet, and he won this.
Why should we not do that, since everybody talked trash about Golden State's last year?
Oh, no, I didn't, though. I totally.
No, that's true. Everybody else did.
Yeah, but you win the title, you won the title. Like, I'm not going to, like, there's a ton of reasons why you did or didn't, but, like, you win the title, you won the title. That's how we rate these things, you know? So I'll give it to you.
I do want to say, Game 7, Kevin Love was a great rebounder. He didn't score a ton of points, but he kept the possessions alive. And he earned his time on the floor. And actually, shout out to him, too, coming back from that concussion and playing, you know, playing pretty good ball towards the end of the series.
So, Joey, do you want him on the Pacers? Because he's going to be available, I think.
I don't know. I mean, they just won the title. Do you send him going?
I mean... Look,
I'd say you entertain any offers, but...
Yeah, I mean, he was really important down the stretch for them near the end of the season and then through the first couple rounds of the playoffs. But, I mean, he was pretty much useless in that series until Game 7. I mean, you know, I think you can, as an owner, can look at this and go, hey, if somebody's willing to pay for him, if we can get an asset for him, he's movable. You're right. They've won a title, maybe just bring everybody back. But I think he's a guy that's... pretty movable, pretty expendable from that title team.
The other thing that I thought was pretty interesting was I thought the Cavs did a really good job of, I think, just getting inside of Steph's head. They were going at him defensively. They were kind of picking on him because he's not an amazing defender. And it, you know, when he's fighting through these screens, they're banging him up. And you know, LeBron had a couple times where he just had big blocks on Steph and was just jawing at him right after. In fact, in Game 7, there was one, you know, same thing. Steph's going up for the layup, and LeBron just sends it back, and it was talking trash. LeBron said something, because Curry thought it was, like, it sort of set him aback a little bit. It was like, whoa, dude, whoa. And the refs were trying to calm things down. But I think that, you know, that kind of stuff that got his head a little bit. I think it's got to be crazy if you're the MVP and the other team is going at you on purpose.
I mean,
that's their job.
That's right? Their job. Yeah. I mean, yeah, why? Yeah, why would you
There's
not?
The Jordan rules, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it really just begs the question, why weren't other teams doing this? How did they forget that you could switch? I mean, here's the thing. Even if Steph Curry is a great defender, you have to make him work at that end. Sure. Why did all the teams who played them before fail to do this? It's good on the Cavs, but, I mean, it's bad on every other team that they played that they weren't able to capitalize.
So, Harper, what's the 73-win legacy at this point? I mean, they didn't win the title.
Doesn't mean anything.
Means it's nothing?
It's a lost season. Doesn't mean anything. It's a loss.
You serious?
Yep.
Dang.
I mean, it's right up there with the Patriots' 16-win regular season, the way they lost the Super Bowl. Who cares? They lost.
They're
like freaks now.
Yeah.
You remember that? I was like, remember that team that won all those games and couldn't seal the deal? I think they're going to do a banner, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, you get your banner for having the most wins in a season, and you put it up, and you don't get a title. I mean, does it feel different because they won the year before?
I mean, to me, it feels like they went for 73 and forgot that, you know, they didn't leave enough in the tank to win a title. That's the way it feels to me, so shame on them.
Yeah.
What was it, Joey, you were saying that they'd lost 9 in the regular season and then proceeded to lose 9 in the playoffs?
Yep.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
I don't know that anybody will ever win more than 73. I guess that's what they said about 72, though.
I think they can break it next year.
If there's enough ends, eventually someone will.
But maybe the lesson from the 73 win team is the regular season record is more important than the title.
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen Pop doing that.
If this was the Premier League, they would have won the title.
Exactly.
So one of the teams that probably potentially should have been to the finals, Oklahoma City, made a big trade.
They did?
Blow it up!
Yeah. So they sent what's his head?
Serge Ibaka. what's his head?
To Orlando, to Vogel Country, is what they call it, and return for Victor Oladipo. I think they feel like there's a draft pick in there too.
Oh yeah, no, there a lot of things.
Ilyasova. Yep.
Oh yes.
And Sabonis.
The younger Sabonis.
Domantas Sabonis.
I think one of the issues is that it wasn't just a straight up Oladipo for Serge Ibaka trade. Sabonis has a chance to be a legitimate player in this league, and Ilyasova is a stretch four that might still have some NBA minutes left in him. Serge Ibaka was one of the big three in Oklahoma City. They're breaking that up, and I get the Oladipo need, but he kind of sort of in my mind fills the Deion Waiters role, but maybe does it better. I think I love Oladipo. I think he's a great
maybe?
Skill. Well, no. I mean, he's just kind of the same position, the same role, but he's going to do it better. Ilyasova could definitely give them some minutes and Sabonis as well. Serge Ibaka proved himself not that necessary in that Golden State series. He didn't play that well and didn't play that much. And Orlando desperately needs a veteran big man to help Vujicic and Vucevic. They need a big man who's going to be able to play defense and shoot threes. And Serge Ibaka does that. I think Vogel's going to be very excited about this. It's a guy that can help tighten up his rotation. I think it makes sense for both teams, especially the way that Adams developed in Oklahoma City. I think this is a win-win for both teams. I do believe that Orlando gave a little bit too much up, but at the same time, I think everybody wins.
I don't understand this trade at all.
No?
Not even a little bit for Orlando. I mean, so you've got Aaron Gordon, who is a super athletic four. You've got Vujovic, who is a serviceable five. So now you're going to invest in Ibaka, who, I mean, what you want him to be is a low post five, really. Like, he expanded his game a little bit so he can hit three pointers, but you really want him to be a low post five? I don't understand where he fits on this team.
They need rim protection. They need defense, and he can do some of that.
Oladipo is a great defender.
No, I agree, but not down low. It's a different thing.
Who do they have to defend? Who's the center in the East that they're defending against?
Oladipo was coming off the bench for them during stretches this season. I know that Scott Skiles was a maniacal, crazy, terrible person for Orlando, but some of their best basketball was played when Oladipo was coming off the bench. So I think ownership could look at that and say, hey, he's movable. Let's go get a piece that makes more sense for a team.
Of course he's movable because he's got huge stock. Because he's really good.
I agree. I'm not sure why they gave up the draft pick. I get Ilyasova's cap fodder. I get that. But giving up the draft pick does seem like giving up too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if you're a Oklahoma City Thunder fan, this is a rip. They ripped it. I mean, they got a serviceable four. They got a serviceable five. They're playing a conference where they don't think they need a serviceable four or a serviceable five anyway. And they got a great two who plays both sides of the court. I mean, ripped it.
He plays defense. He can score. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They killed it in this one. So good on them. I hope that Vogel is happy.
No, I think
with his new toy.
I think he'll be happy with Serge. And he's got what's the Hazonia? Is that their starting two guard now? That Oladipo's gone. He didn't play well with Scott Skiles. Didn't go well. So maybe Vogel. I think Vogel has a way of building up people's confidence and developing young talent, and hopefully this works out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Vogel. I hope it goes well in Orlando. I hope you guys make the playoffs.
True.
The well-coached Orlando Magic is now a true thing.
That's now an actual thing.
Yep.
You saying that wasn't before?
Hey, I might have jumped the gun on some of that a little bit.
It was a premonition, not analysis.
I watched like one Orlando game, and I was like, Shaq Von knows how to coach, and then it spouted out of control.
Well, that was the whole thing. You watched one game.
I mean, this was like our third pod. So, yes, I'd watched one game when I came up with the well-coached Orlando Magic.
Okay.
Give me a little credit.
Yeah. The question now is, I'm not sure what they're doing. I know it's not an Orlando Magic pod, but maybe it's sort of a Vogel pod. I don't know. I'm not sure what that team's doing though. He says he wants to play up and down, but they just got a center
in
the low post.
Yeah,
I don't get this one.
That doesn't help you run up and down. Serge Ibaka doesn't.
Don't get it.
Speaking of that, I want to bring this back around. Do we believe that the team that the Pacer team, as currently constructed, with Teague, Ellis, George, I guess, Young, and then Turner, with a bench of, what are we talking about? George Squared, Lavoie Allen, CJ Miles, Rodney Stuckey, and Joe Young, is a team that is better than it was last year? Do you feel like this is a team that can be a top, have a home court advantage in the playoffs? Are we convinced that this team is, if Bird does nothing else, are we excited enough to go into this season feeling like this is going to work, or no?
Our bench was terrible last year and the year before that. We're not going to do something to make our bench worse. You know what I mean? So I'm just looking at the starters. And we upgraded at one. We upgraded at four. Miles Turner is going to be better. Paul George is going to be Paul George. And I'm hoping that we see some improvement out of Monte Ellis. So, yeah, I think we're better. Like I said, I think we should be plus 10 based on the information that we have.
So we're a 50-win ball club, plus 55-win ball club.
I don't think that's out of the realm of imagination in the Eastern Conference, which is garbage.
Sure, that doesn't speak well for basketball in general, or basketball acuity in general, if you're like, we're better than the garbage East.
But isn't that the goal? I mean, is your goal to beat the Cavs? Because if it is, we haven't done enough. we need some more pieces.
Yeah, heard. Cheers. That all makes sense. Joey, what do you think? Are you excited about this? I mean, as currently constructed, are you feeling confident?
I mean,
do you
as
feel
it
like
stands,
Bird is a magician?
I don't know. Magician is the phrasing I would use, but. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that it's a, yeah, we had a trouble at the four spot last year. You know, we had CJ Miles who ended up getting, who was great for stretches, ended up getting hurt. You know, sometimes we had LaVoy Allen, who was an amazing offensive rebounder, but that was, you know, what he did. You know, not a great shooter, not a tremendous defensive rebounder, you know, didn't block a ton of shots. He had his moments too, but. You know, Thaddeus Young's an upgrade at that position. Miles Turner is going to be, you know, have another year in him. And Paul George, who knows what that guy's doing in a good way, hopefully.
Right. Being real good at basketball?
Yeah, no, he was just coming off, you know, his injury last year. So, you know, I feel like
phenomenal year.
Yeah, he should have a phenomenal year with a little less pressure because I know he was really intent on coming back from that and just really making a splash, and he did. He did a great job, but he looked tired at times, I think particularly later in the year. You know, sort of ran out of gas. But, I mean, you know, we saw him, you know, through this whole season and into the playoffs, and he was amazing. You know, he was the best player on the floor against a team that went to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Or the Eastern Conference Finals, sorry. So, yeah, I'm up on this team. You know, I feel good about them. I think they're on the right path. They're moving forward.
Are you guys going to talk? You guys are talking me into this. I mean, I just still feel like we're a move or two away. I still feel like there's something else that needs to be tweaked.
Well, for what? What's your goal?
To be a contender. I want to be a contender.
You're not a contender.
I know. And that's why I'm saying I want to be a move or two away. You guys are talking me into feeling.
LeBron James.
look, if I can go to the Eastern Conference playoffs and go toe to toe with him, I feel like I'm Paul George is a fantastic player. I know LeBron James is still the best basketball player on the planet, and that doesn't change. But I want to be the team that goes there and challenges him. I mean, that's what I wanted. That's what we did when we were playing Miami all those years. I want to be that team again.
So
I want to be better than Toronto and Boston. I mean, these teams are trash.
I thought we were better than those teams this year. I thought we easily could have ended up in the conference finals
this
year.
That's all I want. That's all I want.
With the terrible roster that we had.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Cavs got pushed to six games by a terrible freaking Toronto team. The East is terrible. It's garbage. So I think our roster's improved. The question is, can we maintain the defense that we had and get some easier buckets down the stretch? And I think that, you know, I think that we've done enough to be confident that we can do that. Now, can we have a healthy locker room and a good coach? That remains to be seen.
Sure. We used to be able to, check that off. We don't know yet, right?
We have no idea. We have no idea at all.
Right.
And those are the things, if anything, that are going to stand in our way, right?
One thing is, Harper, I think the landscape of the East is changing a little bit. The Central Division friends up the road in Chicago made a deal with the New York Knicks, sending Derrick Rose packing. In return, they get Jose Calderon, Robin Lopez, and Jerian Grant.
I'd like to shout out the Knicks on this one for being super classy. And I think it was their official Twitter account. They, shortly after this trade, posted showed footage of Rose burning all three of those guys. And then immediately took it down right afterwards. But I love the class that New York brings to the game.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know what to think about this one. I don't know where Derrick Rose stands. Yeah, no, I think it's good for him.
You don't know if he can stand.
That's yeah, no, this is a non-story. The guy can't play basketball anymore.
That's not true. He will still be an average
NBA
point guard.
Sure. Hey, cool. You just got an average point guard for three dudes. And you know what? Robin Lopez is actually useful on the basketball court. I mean, if you'd given away three dudes that didn't matter, maybe. But Derrick Rose is broken. And God love him. He was an amazing athlete. He was an MVP in this league. And he's had terrible injuries. But he's just not somebody that's going to change the Central or the Eastern Conference by showing up on this team. He's probably better than a point guard they've had since Stephon Marbury. On some level, I guess he's an upgrade. I mean, even broken, he's pretty.
Well, they're running Calderon, right? I think Calderon is a great second string point guard.
Yes, you
I think
also,
he's an average second string.
Calderon.
I love Calderon. He was a great second string point guard 4 years ago. By the time he was the starter on.
Oh, it's
New
the
York,
age that got him. That's why.
It is. He was great 4 years ago. He's past his prime. No, I mean he's an upgrade at point guard, sure, but he's just an average point guard. He's not a star. And just because he's a big name doesn't mean anything's going to happen anymore. I'm not afraid of the Knicks.
He is a star. Of course he's a star.
No, he's not a star.
He is a star, but he's a star. He's a celebrity.
Yeah.
He's a star, but he's not. But you're confusing.
He's not an all-star.
Right, exactly.
Thank you. Okay, that's apparently my confusion.
You know what I mean.
He's a famous person, is what you're saying.
He is.
And New York should be great for him, right? I mean, this is a good
start. No, it's not. They're going to totally boo the. Oh my God, they're going to hate him when he screws up because that's what New York does. You've got to be really good at your job, or you just get eaten alive.
Don't they have Carmelo?
When was the last time they had a good team? They need something.
Yeah,
they need somebody to get butts in those seats.
And Carmelo's really good at basketball, but he didn't even try. And the town loves him. And this is the thing that could maybe get Carmelo interested in basketball again.
All right. So you guys are on this more than I am. I just think this is a non-story. I don't think the Knicks give him that much better. I think maybe they win five more games.
I thought it made him better. I just thought it was a splash. And that's what New York needs. That's all they care about. They're putting butts in seats. That's why it's a story.
All right.
Yeah, if it was a point guard with the same stats and his name wasn't Derrick Rose, then who cares?
No cares. Right. Yeah. If you want to talk about how maybe they could get better, we can sit here and talk about Porzingis for a little while.
Might get better. He's going to start at five for them, right? And it's going to be great. I'm excited for him, but I just don't think I'm just not afraid of the Knicks if I'm looking at the Eastern Conference landscape.
What about the Bulls side of this one?
The Bulls are just getting rid of him because he and Jimmy Butler couldn't exist. Yeah,
it's a salary dump.
Yeah, they couldn't exist on the same team, and they had to get rid of him. They saved some money.
In contrast to the Knicks, but from a basketball perspective, getting rid of Derrick Rose, who's going to play the point for them at this point? Is it, they need to go pick up somebody, I would assume.
They've got to. Yeah, I don't know who that is. And then Robin Lopez is, like I said, I think he's a nice piece. He's a person who can play basketball. And Joakim Noah is probably not re-signing with them.
No.
So it's nice to have big men. Chicago, still not afraid of them either. Even though they're going to beat us two out of the four games we play them, but I'm not afraid of them in the long term.
I mean, I think that they're probably better. And, I think last year on this pod, we had them averaging, our average win total for them was in the 50s somewhere. I mean, I think they're a better team. I think they got a coach who's going to adjust to the situation. I mean, I don't think you can just write them off because they lost Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, who also doesn't play.
No, I agree.
Better team this year.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, you had two guys that were decent players that, you know, like I said, I don't know if they necessarily make things way better or way worse, but they're gone. So, like, you've lost some bodies. If they can replace those guys with above-average replacement players, then they're better. But at this point, I don't think
average replacement players, considering the guys that they're actually replacing.
Did they make the playoffs last year? No.
They did not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think – I'm not – they haven't gotten better is all I'm saying.
Yeah, they have gotten better. They've definitely gotten better. That's my point. Okay. They've got a coach who you like, who's now a year in, right?
Right.
They've gotten rid of Derrick Rose, who was a life suck for them. They've gotten rid of, we'll probably get rid of Joakim Noah. Same thing. He plays 40 games a year.
Right.
They're better. They're going to be a better team.
All right.
I mean, they're not going to win the East, but again,
they're in the
conversation to make the playoffs in a garbage East. They're that good.
All right. All right. Well, sure.
Congrats,
Chicago. Shout out.
I think the Bulls and the Knicks. Probably had some good quality time together at the lottery, because that's where they both were. So, last thing we want to mention here, the draft happened, like we sort of talked about. I think the Sixers actually got the number one pick, finally. Through the process, thank you. And I picked up Ben Simmons, who is, you guys say, he's highly touted. LeBron-like, but taller.
He's got that kind of court vision. He's very complete as a basketball player. Doesn't shoot the ball particularly well, but he's 19 years old, too. He's pushing 7 feet, so he's going to be an awfully good player in this league. He works hard, smart guy, by all accounts. So, solid pickup for them.
Is this the moment that the process starts to pay off?
Yep.
All right. Yep.
And at number two, the Lakers picked up Brandon Ingram, who was the other guy that was in the conversation for number one overall. No real surprise there. It was either going to be Simmons or Ingram, whoever the Sixers didn't pick up. So solid for the Lakers. They got a good pickup there.
Lakers are still going to suck, so... not that worried about it.
Well, we'll see who they get. They're not done yet.
Yeah. I guess they do have some cachet in the free agency.
Some. They're going to have all the... So they're in one of the biggest markets. They have the, you know, the name, the history, the LA Lakers. And then you have all those former Lakers who were, you know, they're helping those guys recruit. You got Magic Johnson talking to you, saying, hey, why don't you come play with us? And Kobe.
And Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Steve Nash.
So
all those former.
I'm guessing that...
Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel. Just feeling like, come on, be great.
Based on Sacramento's draft, where they picked up... like, it seemed like they picked up 7 big guys somehow in the course of one night.
Yeah, they at least got 2 more centers, I think, is what happened.
They got 2 true centers. So they're definitely trading Boogie Cousins. The most likely destinations are probably New York and L.A. for him. Do you really not like L.A. with Brandon Ingram, Boogie Cousins, D'Angelo Russell? You don't like that team? Swaggy P, come on.
Julius Randle.
Randle can play.
They might win more than 25 games. Cool. Yeah. No, I'm down.
I'd go ahead and take the over.
I don't know. They're really. Oh yeah, with DeMarcus Cousins. Sure. Yeah. They're real
and,
young though.
And Luke
really
Walton.
Luke Walton. Yeah, as their new coach. They're not a playoff threat at that point. But you know who is? Utah Jazz with George Hill. Way to go, George Hill. Way to just pull that team together. He's going to be the veteran presence they need. They're making the playoffs. Go Utah. I've never said go Utah in my life.
Yeah,
and
I don't root for anything Utah.
And I will actually never say it again. That's the last time.
That was it.
That was it.
Exclusive. You got it here first. Colson says go Utah. All right, I think that's any other drafts or trades we we missed?
I was just going to mention briefly, Boston ended up picking number three. There was all kinds of action for that number three pick. Everybody wanted it. And they ultimately not only didn't trade it, but said no one was even really close to getting them to. And then they picked up a guy who was way – who looked like a huge reach. He's just not really NBA ready. Guy's name is Jaylen Brown. He's got a ton of upside for sure. Seriously hope that Brad Stevens has got his scouting team in lock on this one, because otherwise that's going to look like a really bad pick.
Yeah, Boston had a million picks and kept them all. And so now they have, what, seven guys that they drafted? They don't have enough roster space for all those guys. So expect to see some guys cut or for some stuff to happen. Maybe some trades.
Yep. And shout out the T-Wolves on picking up Chris Dunn. That's going to be a good team. I'm excited for the Timberwolves this year.
Shout out Snoda.
Well, until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. You can find us on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us on iTunes. We've got t-shirts for sale on the website.
When are they going to start making the George Squared t-shirts? The Jorge Snyang. Can I get a jersey yet? I'm ready.
You need to go get a custom one. Go to the field. Go to the what do they call it?
The field house?
The field house. And go get a custom one made. I don't think you can buy them yet.
Okay, I'll work on that. I'll talk to Larry.
Yeah, do that. You're gonna march into his office and demand.
You might be careful. You might accidentally get hired as coach.
That's how it works.
This is how it works.
If you just happen to be in the room,
you're my new scouting head
for a once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
You think Nate McMillan was like, got lost and was just poking his head in, asking where the candy machine went or something? And he's like, yep, you're the coach now.
That's right. It was off season. He was right. Just like picking up his coat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably how T got traded too. Like he just happened to be in town for a family event, and he's like, wait, you're on the team, right? Oh wait, I have to send George Hill away. Sure, whatever, it doesn't matter, just hang out.
It'd be rude not to.
Sure.
I just thought that was weird.
What's that?
That the soccer leagues, that's the championship, is the regular season. It's just a record thing.
Yeah, there's no playoffs.
I mean, they have like
points.
Yeah, they have like cups and stuff that are like fun and like they're interesting competitions. But the big thing is the regular season and just your record.
That sounds lame as shit. Why do people watch soccer?
They don't.
Okay, good.
Not in the U.S.
Good.
I do.
Yeah.
Ass.
That's why I'm going to be friends with you, because you can talk to the machines, right, Joey?
Okay, I can try.